In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us unite our hearts in thanksgiving and prayer. Our beloved Heavenly Father, as we have once again gathered before thy holy and blessed word, we beg of thee, dear Father, keep us in the place of a child, desiring the sincere milk of thy word, that we may grow thereby. And we ask, dear Father, open thy precious word unto us, wherever it may be spoken throughout the land. And we ask, dear Father, keep us as thy grace beggars. Keep us as little children. But we thank thee, dear Father, for this, our daily bread, for our homes and our families, our loved ones, our dear brothers and sisters in living faith, and all that is needful in this temporal life, with which thou hast so abundantly blessed us with. But above all, we thank thee, dear Father, that thou hast chosen us to be thy children, that thou hast given unto us and unto all mankind thine only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus, through whom that salvation has been gained and merited unto us, through whom we have received the forgiveness of all our sin. For this, dear Father, we thank thee and praise thy name. And for all this, we ask in thy beloved Son's name, in Jesus' name, amen. From the Gospel according to St. Luke, if I can find that portion. From the 7th chapter of Luke, beginning from the 36th verse onward. And these words are in Jesus' name as follow. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, and the one owned 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath wiped my feet with her tears, and she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loveth much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Amen. I'd like to first of all bring actually quite a few greetings here. Greetings from the brothers and sisters in Cocado, which is, as I've often said, just on the road. But also I had opportunity to be over the New Year up in Alaska, enjoying the fellowship with those few believers there. And indeed it was good for me to be there. They also asked to relay their greetings down here to the lower 48. And I've been out of work for a while. I think there's many who have experienced the downturn in the economy, and I believe almost everyone here has experienced it in some degree or other. I certainly have experienced it. And I have to say that it's been a difficult time for me. One's mind begins to play tricks with issues and matters and so on and so forth. But I did pick up a job here last week. I had to drive a car down to Phoenix for my sister. It was tough duty. But I sure enjoyed it. A lot of greetings from Phoenix, too. We had services there Sunday morning, and Jim Mull served us there then. And it was nice to be there. But it's nice to come home, too. And even in the midst of winter without work, it's still nice to be home. Also, actually, I'd like to give you greetings from my parents, Maya and Jakob Koivukangas. We speak with them pretty regularly, Mary more so than myself even, and they have asked to relay their greetings, and they do miss this country and this area and the believers here. On the church calendar, the theme for this Sunday speaks unto us how Jesus awakens faith. Although this text is not one of the texts for this Sunday, but we and believers oftentimes experience when loved ones or dear brothers and sisters who have been deceived by Satan, those obstacles that he has placed and which he places in our way oftentimes. But unto whom those obstacles became so great and who had denied faith, we oftentimes remember them in our prayers and indeed we oftentimes lament them, are weighed down by this. Certainly, this theme for this day reminds us how Jesus awakens faith. We remind those when God gives those words unto us, for those loved ones and even for our unbelieving neighbors and friends. But all we can do is lead them to Christ. And indeed, it is the Lord himself who awakens living faith. We plant and we water. It is God who gives the increase. And so even this morning we remember those who are struggling in the darkness of unbelief, that God would awaken faith once again in their heart. In our text here, it's a familiar text. Indeed, I think this is the woman of which we are reminded of every month, the sinful woman in the house of the Pharisee. When the brothers read unto us those communion rites, that with Peter I would weep over my sins, and with the woman which was a sinner, I would love thee with all my heart. And together with the thief on the cross, I could behold thy holy face forever. Luke here doesn't tell us when or where this woman had received repentance, but Jesus knew this woman. She was a woman who lived and had lived in open sin. Indeed, even the Pharisees knew her. Many had known her way of life. Nicodemus was a Pharisee who came unto Jesus, but he came in the darkness of night. He didn't want to be seen. Simon also is a Pharisee, but remarkably, he invited the Lord Jesus into his home, and he invited other Pharisees and others there to come also. It must have been known in town, in the village there, that this meeting with the Lord Jesus was going to take place in the house of Simon. Indeed, for this sinful woman somehow received word also that that morning Jesus would be in that home. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. And she entered into that house, and she went behind Christ and bowed down weeping. And with those tears, then she began to wash the feet of Jesus. The Pharisees, the self-righteous Pharisees, had no time for this woman. And indeed, the leaven of the Pharisees is hypocrisy. These Pharisees believed in their heart that they had obtained salvation through their work and merit. They believed that they were upholding the demands of the law. It's remarkable when you think of these Pharisees that sat in that house. I'm sure that they wanted to question Jesus. I'm sure that they were quite interested in what he had to say. And they heard and saw there a quite amazing thing. When that woman touched Jesus, it says here what Simon thought. And when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." Jesus knew his thoughts, and immediately he began to ask him a question. Nothing has changed. Some 2,000 years later, we sit here. We've come here to hear what God has to say unto us. Indeed, we have come here to the feet of Jesus. So simply we believe. It doesn't matter who sits here before us, who is serving us. For the Holy Spirit reveals that word unto us. Jesus knows your very thoughts. The Bible records unto us, God even knows when a hair falls from upon our head. It's remarkable when we think and stop to pause at the wisdom and knowledge of God. It is without end. We think of our endeavor of faith. And indeed, dear brothers and sisters, we have to say it is an endeavor of faith. It is a daily battle against that threefold enemy. Satan, the darkened, unbelieving world, and our sin-corrupted flesh. And yet, what grace of grace it is that our salvation has not been left in our sinful hands. But even as this sinful woman in the house of the Pharisee experienced, It was left in the merit work of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Faith upon Him and trust. And simply believing the gospel message, that same message which that sinful woman again heard in this home of the Pharisee, thy sins are forgiven unto thee. Indeed, it is from this message, the sweet message of the gospel, that we receive new power and strength to endeavor. Once again, when we think of ourselves and we read the Holy Scriptures, it's important that we read and study the Holy Scriptures. Very important. And yet even so many times I read from a portion and there's no understanding what is meant here. It seems, dear brothers and sisters, that we have so little wisdom. We have so little understanding. And again, I've often remembered that dear elder speaker brother, that one of those speakers camps that we've attended, I don't remember which one it was anymore, but he took a turn to speak there, and then he stood up and he said that, and I don't remember the exact words that he used, but this was his lament. That how many times he's had wrong understandings. How many times he had no understanding. And he went on to lament of his endeavor of faith. And he concluded in this way. And he said, all that we have left then is simply believe the gospel, that my sins are forgiven. This is what this sinful woman did in the house of the Pharisee. Why was she weeping? She felt the burden of her sinfulness. Certainly she had doubts of her past life and sins and unbelief that she had lived in. I'm sure that a doubt weighed heavily on her. Even in that house, the Pharisees knew who she was. And they were shocked that Christ let her touch him. And yet, Jesus, who knew their thoughts, then began to speak unto Simon and the other Pharisees that were there. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, and the one owned 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. Dear brothers and sisters, it is remarkable for us today, and indeed, if you would ask your unbelieving neighbors, if you would ask anybody in these twin cities, this question of which the Pharisees were alarmed and shocked at, when they thought in their mind, and they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? They questioned that how is the Lord Jesus able to forgive sins? Today, when we think of it, that's remarkable. And as I said, you can talk to most any unbeliever who believes upon the living God, and you would ask them this question, they would say, of course, Christ forgives sins. Isn't it so? But then our unbelieving neighbors and countrymen stumble over this. When they hear the sweet message of the gospel preached through these clay lips of man that indeed believe all sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. That is now where they stumble. And they question, how can man forgive sins? No longer is the question, how can Christ forgive sins? But rather they stumble upon this, that how is man able to forgive sins? Many of them believe that they receive the forgiveness of their sins through prayer. And yet, if you would read the entire scriptures from beginning to end, there is no doctrinal proof. There is nothing in the scriptures which give that cause to understand that sins are forgiven through prayer. There is nowhere in the Bible it says this. But at the end of this gospel, unto Luke, for instance, when Christ, before he went into heaven, he said unto them, it's recorded here, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And so the disciples began that mission work of our Lord and Savior Jesus, and all the believers that lived during that day some 2,000 years ago. And so it continued, generation after generation after generation. The sweet message of the gospel was carried by his own, the believers here upon the earth in his kingdom. To us, it's such a simple matter. But to those who are blinded by unbelief, it is such a great obstacle to overcome. It is as great an obstacle as it was for the Pharisees there in that house. When Christ said unto that woman, thy sins are forgiven. Dear brothers and sisters, it is indeed this gospel message, as the scripture says, which gives unto us power and strength to believe. Jesus reminded Simon then, it was custom in those days that when someone came into the house that the host would wash their feet and would anoint their head with oil and so on and so forth. Simon did none of this. Perhaps because there were other Pharisees in the home, who knows why. But he broke custom. Jesus reminded him how this woman, since the time she came into the home, did not cease from washing his feet, kissing them, and anointing them with oil. Why did the woman do this? For that reason, as we are reminded month after month, she loved the Lord and Savior Jesus so greatly. She had received such grace and mercy and forgiveness. She did it out of love through faith upon the Lord and Savior Jesus. So then today we oftentimes we may think, how do we serve the Lord Jesus? Dear mother and father, when you serve your children, dear husband and wife, when you serve one another, dear brothers and sisters, when you serve one another, or when you serve your unbelieving neighbor, indeed, you are serving the Lord Jesus. You children, when you are obedient unto your mother and father, you are serving the Lord Jesus. That is how simple it is. And so we understand then how this service begins in our own little home congregation. Husband and wife, mother and father, children and youth. From there then it extends out in all different ways, forms and fashions. And he turned to the woman and saith unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loveth much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. We also, dear brothers and sisters, oftentimes in our life have experienced this, that warmth of the consuming fire of God. Perhaps it has been even as this woman, this sinful woman, that the doubts had weighed so heavily. Sin had beset. And when the gospel message has been proclaimed, one's cup has runneth over. Oftentimes we have experienced this. The old believers had said in this way that we go from victory to victory to victory. And so it is, dear brothers and sisters, in our endeavor of faith. So many times our hearts are cold and empty. The consuming fire of God warms our cold and empty hearts. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. So even our Lord Jesus says to us this morning, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Oh, the simplicity of this gift of faith that has been granted unto us. Oh, that we would always remain in this place of a child, simply believing our sins forgiven. That peace of God would descend and remain in our heart. That my sins have been forgiven. The doors of heaven are open. Salvation is mine through the merit work of our Lord and Savior Jesus. So simple it is, dear brothers and sisters. And so we endeavor even this morning to believe. This message from our Lord and Savior Jesus, that thy sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. And be of good comfort. He has promised us, I will never leave thee, I will never forsake thee. And I also need to hear this gospel that, could I believe my many sins and doubts and fears also forgiven? I certainly desire to believe with you. And it is wonderful to be here, a partaker of this kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.